Well, good morning, bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. This morning I'm teaching on hope, an anchor of the soul. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, we see the imagery of an anchor of the soul in reference to the hope. In addition, the soul being the breath life for the flesh, the soul is also the seat of our free will decision-making, our appetites for life, our emotions, and the like. The soul includes our affection and aversions in our choice of conduct. Neither the holy man who wrote this epistle nor the intended recipients should diminish our consideration of an anchor digging into the floor of a waterway to securely grip a watercraft. Our understanding and belief in the hope keeps us from drifting away from who we really are and who we desire to be. The whole idea of an anchor is to keep a boat in place. The anchor secures it from the currents beneath and the winds above. God breathed this comparison to help us comprehend the magnitude of the hope. Equating the work of an anchor to the purpose of the hope magnifies to us the sense of security, stability, the believer's hope is unparalleled. Biblically, hope is not the top rung of the wishful thinking ladder. Our anchor is not a hope-so, but it's a know-so. And what do we know? According to the Word of God, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we'll read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Lively means we are endless in the kingdom of God. We have this lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he can raise Christ from the dead, he can raise us up also. Verse 4 continues, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heavenly places for you and for me." Verse 5, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times." The word for kept refers to a military guard presenting hostile invasion. Here's yet another wonderful imagery for being in safe and secure grip of our Heavenly Father. The New Living Translation, verse 21, "Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory." It's called faith because we come to trust in God and his word. We believe that he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. It's called hope because although we believe that we have eternal life, we have not actually seen it yet. While at this time, we do not know every detail about our eternal life, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 assures us, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." This is when our faith will turn into sight. We will see him and be right in the middle of the realization of God's hope. We know from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that those who are without Christ have no hope and are without God in the world. The best they have is wishful thinking. But they have no biblical expectation. Doesn't that make your heart want to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and all he's done and introduce this hope to the world In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for great his great love wherewith he loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." With all that is going on throughout the world around us, outside our home, our truth is God is rich in mercy, and through his grace, because of his great love for us, made us alive through Christ and raised us up and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 affirms to us that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything we have and everything we will do is through Christ. God kept his glorious plan a secret. He kept it under wraps because, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 reveals, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The word for princes of this world denotes local authorities, rulers of the nations, members of the Sanhedrin. It's even used of Jesus and of the devil. If those screaming, crucify him, had known the outcome of the crucifixion, he would have been carefully stashed away for safekeeping. They would never have let him die. Certainly the devil did not know. If he did know, he would not have possessed these leaders to hate and demand that Christ be crucified. He'd be trying to eradicate Jesus like Herod did, sought to kill him as a baby. But it's interesting to think that those men crying out for his demise would not have done so. Had they known, they were not wiping out his power, but putting a multiplier on it. Now everywhere, all who believe on Christ can exercise the power of Jesus Christ. Curses spoiled again. It's the same today. There's nothing new. Leaders who are the servants of darkness make plans to destroy any avenue that bring glory to God. They will never destroy what God has planned for us in Christ. Our hope is the anchor. God is keeping us. Hope is our heart's conviction of the word which ye have learned regarding Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. We believe we are seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God through Christ. Our assurance is absolute. There is nothing the leaders in this world who do the bidding of our spiritual enemy can do to interrupt or stop our hope. They cannot even postpone it. So fear not, it's more than set in stone. We have a lively hope that's set in the heavenlies, and our forever lives cannot be undone or changed even by the devil himself. This has been God's plan from the very beginning, according to his good will. He purposed that he would be the all in all for every seeker. Through our firm conviction, we hold fast that every promise that God has spoken will surely be fulfilled. Paul revealed in Ephesians that the promise to the born-again ones is the kingdom beyond the heavenlies. In Ephesians 1:19 and 20, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. When Christ arose, God ascended him to his own right hand. This is a finished work and a promise fulfilled." We believe that this has happened, and here is our promise in Ephesians 2:4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Our salvation and hope is being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our hope is a heavenly one. We are seated together with Christ at God's right hand. Wherever Christ is, we are there in him. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 tells us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of God was in Christ, and it is in us by the Spirit that dwells within us. Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10 tells us, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Ephesians tell us there is one hope. In chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. See why hope is such a crucial part of our beliefs? It's because there is only one. Hope is the firm conviction in our hearts. It is our enduring belief that God will fulfill his promise. Hope is the anchor of our soul. It digs deep into the foundation of truth and grips, keeping us steadfast. Through our hope, God guards us from hostile invasion. In one manner or other, through the epistles, Paul beseeches the believers to remain firmly established in the faith without being moved from the hope of the gospel. Is it any wonder Paul pleads with the Colossians not to be moved away from the hope of the good news they have received? Well, let's face it. If your understanding of the hope is confused, then your anchor is not correctly in place. An anchor that is not set correctly may slowly move from the boat or slow the movement of the boat, but it will not hold it in place. Set the anchor. It is God's will for us to be abound in hope with the present fruit of joy and peace. Ephesians 1:18 tells us God's desire is for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, to know the hope of his calling. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. When we are anchored to the one hope in life and in death, Christ gets magnified. Can you see that? We are all going to die if the Lord does not return during our lifetime. But our hope is in Christ, that in the death of our physical bodies, we shall be raised to eternal life at his return. In this hope, we are clearly the winners at every turn. In every eventuality, this verse tells us that according to our intense and persistent expectation, we will not be brought to shame or disgrace. Expectation is the word we have been looking at before, indicating that we watch with head erect or outstretched. We are waiting, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, affirms that God, even our Father, has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through his grace. So who is our hope? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which or who is our hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. According to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Our hope includes a new body at the return of Christ, everlasting life in perfection with God and His kingdom, and in His kingdom, rewards for the things we have done in love on this earth. And God only knows what else awaits us. We know from the Word, because of knowing the nature of God, that whatever else it is, it will be glorious, and it will be to His glory. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 gives us counsel for awaiting the full realization of the hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got our neck stretched out where we have great expectations on His return, because He's told us He's coming back, and we know He's coming back for us. Looking for is in the sense of our favorably expecting the fulfillment of God's promise. There is no if it will come to pass. All God's promises will come to pass. The Word says every jot and every tittle and every promise is yea, and in Him, amen. So shall it be. And as we look toward the glorious appearing of Christ, here's another expectation that we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The Lord will guide, He will direct and make straight and remove any hindrances from your way. There'll be no hostile invasion. He will direct your heart into the love of God and into the steadfast, no loosening from the anchor awaiting Christ. We will stay connected. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it tells us, for now we see through a glass darkly or vaguely, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity, which is the love of God. Here we see that the love of God is the greatest of all. With God's love, the anchor holds. Our faith is crucial. There is one faith. Our hope is crucial. There is one hope. Our love is crucial because there is one agape love, God's love, and it energizes everything else that we do to the glory of God. It will never end, and it will never fail. As the political intrigue and junk of our day and time jam the airwaves, don't be misled into supporting a constitutional kingdom upon the earth. Don't drift away from looking toward the glorious day when our Lord returns for us. Be ready. A crown of rejoicing awaits all them who love His appearing. We will be sending you a link along with this of a song entitled, This Could Be the Dawning of the Day, Until Then. So, until then, we'll keep on singing, because this could be the dawning of the day. My brothers and sisters, God bless you. Let's get up every morning when you awake, live like this could be the dawning of that day. Bless your hearts.